Right. Well, if you have a Bible, turn to the book of James, chapter 5. And I encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, maybe look on with somebody that does. James chapter 5, or James chapter 4. We'll get into this. This verse in just a minute. I'll give you a little introduction here. The gospel is good news, and it is a blessing that God would be willing to die for your sins, for my sins. It is a tremendous blessing that God is a good God. In order to know, some of you don't know His goodness, though, because you haven't understood maybe the position you're in before God. And Jesus said one time to a lady, He says that she loved much because she was forgiven much. Meaning, she'd done quite a bit of stuff in her life. And when forgiveness came to her and she received that forgiveness from God, it meant a lot to her. As opposed to someone who doesn't necessarily think they've done so much wrong, and when someone offers forgiveness, you don't necessarily think that forgiveness is all that important, really. And I want to show you, and I don't want you to I think this is angry or anything like that, but you're going to read some things that are very direct. If you'll read them in the Bible, you're going to read some things that are very direct today, and they describe a person's position before a holy God. Thank goodness God is forgiving. Thank goodness God provides a way in Jesus Christ to pay for sin, but if you don't recognize the sin, then the need for a Savior doesn't mean anything to you. So we're going to go through the gospel in the Bible. And some of you may be religious. Some of you may go to church. The gospel is not a denomination. It isn't a religion. It isn't you're related to somebody who's a deacon or something like that. None of those things mean anything really to the Lord. What means something to God is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ's sacrifice for sins. And everything that God the Father, as far as blessings, He puts into Jesus Christ. And if you are partaker of Jesus Christ, if you are in Jesus Christ, you are partaker of all the blessings that are in Jesus Christ. But if you're not in Jesus Christ, you're not a partaker of any of those blessings that are in Jesus Christ. I'm going to read this verse to you, then we'll pray, and then I want to just go through as clearly as I can the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like I said, if you may belong to a church, you may belong to some organized religion, you may not belong to anything. You may not belong to any church or any organized religion. The point of all this is God provided a way for you as a sinner to live at peace with Him forever, to have eternal life, to have forgiveness. Your religion isn't going to provide that. I'll give you an example. I just feel like there's so much that needs to be said here, but if your religion does not offer you eternal life, your religion is vain. If your religion not only doesn't offer you eternal life, but doesn't offer you the assurance that you can have eternal life, your religion is vain. So I asked somebody this one time, and you guys have been here, you've heard this before. The fellow said he was religious, he was a part of this organized religion, and I asked him, I said, do you know where you're going when you die? And he said, well, no, nobody can know that, which is a typical answer. That's what most people believe. No one can know something like that. But I find it hard to believe that a God who is loving, who you might claim is loving, and in reality is loving, would leave people in limbo wondering what in the world happens to them. I don't think a loving God does things like that, to just make people on edge or worry or concerned. He gives assurance. And so I asked this fellow, I said, do you know where you're going when you die? And he says, I don't know. Nobody can know that. And I said, well, you can know that. But let me ask you a more practical question on the side of religion, because you seem like a religious guy. What is the point of your religion if it doesn't offer you any knowledge of eternal life or assurance of salvation? Like, you keep going to church and you never have any more understanding of life than people who don't go to church. You don't have any more understanding or any more assurance of eternal life than someone who chooses to spend their Sundays doing something else. I mean, I could go to somebody who's fishing today. You know where you're going when you die? I don't know. Go to somebody who's in an organized religion. Know where you're going when you die? No, I don't know. You're all in the same boat. I didn't mean for that to be a joke, but but you understand what I'm saying. I mean, a loving God doesn't put people, he's not going to put people in a position to wonder what happens for eternity. That's the most important thing. This life here is very brief. And I want to show you from the Bible, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope it's a blessing to you. And I hope if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, today you would do that. But I understand after people hear these things, they need to ponder them a little bit. So you may need to think about it a little bit before you make a decision. That's fine too. But let's pray, and I want to show you from the Bible the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for everybody that's here, folks that have been invited, and our visitors. Lord, I pray they'd be blessed for being here. Father, I pray the gospel would be very clear of salvation in Jesus Christ, of your loving kindness, your grace, your mercy, and forgiveness of sins when you can find a sinner. Lord, I pray folks would understand their sin, understand the gravity of their sin, understand that this sin is going to be accounted for. You are a God of details. You are a God of making things right. And Lord, I pray today that your Holy Spirit have liberty among us to take these words and apply them where they need to be applied. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this verse, we'll read this verse, and then I'm going to backtrack a little bit and give you some introduction stuff. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I read that verse to you to help you understand when we get to the part about sin in the gospel. People usually go to the most extreme cases of sin, like, I've never murdered anyone. I've never, in their mind, stolen anything or whatever. Just to go to these extreme cases. But I want you to understand, God's standard is not your standard. But God also doesn't hide his standard from you. He tells you what it is. And he identifies sin everywhere it shows up in a soul's life. He identifies sin. This is one verse among a few I'm going to show you where the Bible defines and says, this thing here is sin. And it's not usually what people think about. People usually run to, I mean, if I were to say, are you a sinner? You might say, yeah, I'm a sinner, but you know, it's not that big a deal, all that kind of stuff. Or someone might say, I've even heard people say, no, I'm not that bad. You know, I'm not that bad. Meaning, in their mind, a sin is something that's really, really terrible. But what they do is not really that bad. Going back, before we get to that point, You ought to understand, and I think you know this. When God created everything, he said it was all good. He didn't put sin into the world. He didn't create sin to insert it into the world. Sin is just a perversion of God's creation. It's not a new creation. It's not something that God lined the creation with. Sin is just taking what God created and just twisting it or perverting it a little bit. And so, when God created everything, the Bible says he saw everything. He said it was all good. Everything was good. Genesis 1:31, everything was good. And then shortly after that, after Adam and Eve, you got the story in Genesis 1 and 2 and 3. Shortly after that, something called sin crept into creation. And that sin was, like I said, the perversion of what God said. It was just taking what was already there and marring it and breaking it down. And of course, the key figure in doing all that is Satan. And he's been doing it for a long time. He's the architect of those things. And so when sin was committed, the Lord said, in the day that thou eatest, talking about the fruit of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day you eat it, in that day you'll surely die. And death entered into the world when it shouldn't have ever entered into the world. When you go to a hospital room, and maybe you're the one in the hospital bed, or your loved ones are in the hospital bed, you know something is wrong with this situation. This is not how it's supposed to be. And you know what? You're right. This is not how it's supposed to be. This isn't the way God created things to be. He did not create hospitals. He did not create cemeteries. He didn't create any of those things. All of those things in our culture are a product of sin. Every single one of those things. And so when sin entered the world, the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Maybe your sin isn't exactly what Adam did, but you got the same bloodline now. And it's incredible that the most universal act, the most universal thing in this world, the most sure thing in this world, which is death, is something we've never gotten used to. You know why? Because it's not supposed to be that way. It was never supposed to be that way. It was never supposed to be crooked, and sin was never supposed to get in there, but sin got in there, and death passed upon all men. And the most universal, sure thing in this world became the thing that we will never get used to, death. You go to hospital, a cemetery. You know, we'd sit around and you go to a cemetery, you go to a funeral service, and people cry and people console. And you know what the thing is, we understand, everyone understands there, this is not right. This is not supposed to be this way. And the reality is that that's true. This is not supposed to be this way. It was never supposed to be this way in God's creation. Satan got in there and he perverted this thing, and now death passed upon all men. The Bible says this, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. We'll get to that in a second. But when sin entered this world, the Bible says death passed upon all men. If you were born in Adam, which everyone here was, you are subject to this thing called death. And it may not even be associated with your particular sin or anything like that, because babies die on a regular basis. You know, the only reason babies die is because they're in Adam. They were born in Adam. In Adam, all die. Every single one of us. And we never got used to it. And I'm not saying you should get used to it. I'm just saying this is the way it is. This is the reality of the situation. And interestingly enough, people don't really think about, and you don't want to though. You don't really want to think about the end like that. You don't really want to think about death. You don't want that to consume your mind. But I notice people will often prepare for it. I mean, they'll try to make some preparations for it, maybe for their family, things like that. Try to make some preparations for it. But when death passed upon all men, we'll get to preparations in a second. The Bible says that all men, every soul in this world, every soul that lives long enough to make a conscious decision about what they're doing for or against God, every soul in this world, the Bible says, all have sinned. And you say, and this is where we get to this point in this verse. You say, okay, I may have sinned a few times, but, you know, it's just not that bad. You just don't understand. I'm just not that bad of a person. That's what everyone says. Everyone says that. Just not that bad. I mean, you could be in prison. You could be in prison for multiple murders, and you're still not that bad of a person. That's what everyone justifies their life. Everyone does it. So I want to show you a couple of verses that show you the judge's standard of sin. So help you identify, look, after we look at these verses, I think you'll get a better understanding of saying, you know what, if sin is a perversion of creation, most of my life is lived in sin. Let me show you a couple verses. James 4:17, one we read, says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what God did? He just got to the root of the matter. He didn't say, okay, don't lie, don't commit murder, don't, you know, do these really bad things, don't do that. No, the Lord got to the root of the matter, and he says, listen, if you know to do good and you withhold that good, you know what that is? That's sin. Now you think of all the opportunities you might have had to do some good, something good, and you just kind of pass, you know what, I don't have time for that. Yeah, it's going to take time out of my schedule. I've already got these things planned. And if you just went by that one thing, you and I'd have enough sin to pile up in this room and just, we wouldn't fit in this room. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. How many times have you known to do the right thing and you chose not to do it? You know what God said? That's sin. Forget all the murder. Forget all the lie. Forget all the things you think are big things. Let me deal with where it actually resides. Let me show you another one. Look over in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Remember, this is God's, the judge's assessment and identification of what he calls sin. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. The context here is eating and drinking. Verse 20, 21, 22. Context is a meal, put it that way. Verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Man, that covers a lot of life. In fact, you could probably count on one hand, maybe one hand, the times you chose to act in faith. But trying to count the times you didn't act in faith, we couldn't even count those. When you compare it, when he's talking about just a meal, he says, look, this is the most basic thing people do. And the most basic thing people do without any regard for what God said. They don't take any consideration into it. And so he boils this thing down to, he says, look, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you want to get to it, forget murder. Forget all those things you say are big things. Sin is just the perversion of what God created. So God creates, and then man just goes on and does things without any regard for what God said about him. And so if we were to count up how many times we've acted in faith, we might be able to count it on one hand. But you try to go through all the decisions you've made with no regard for God. I mean, just forget trying to count those things. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Here's another one. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 9. Proverbs 24, verse 9. Proverbs 24, verse 9. A real simple verse here. Proverbs 24, 9 says this: the thought of foolishness is sin. Proverbs 24, 9. The thought of foolishness is sin. Not even the activity of foolishness, but that stuff starts to creep up and that thought shows up in there and you start to meditate on that thought, to think about, you know, I could do something like that. I mean, we might want to try something like that. I don't know. He says the thought of foolishness is sin. You know what God's doing with all these verses? He's saying, you made this arbitrary standard way out here that you thought you could achieve. But that's not my standard. This is my standard. And all of these things are where, this is where sin resides in you as a human being. You know to do good, you don't do it. That's where sin resides. That's where it is. Because you know what God did? God knew to do something good and he did it. When God knew to do good, he chose to do good. And we'll get to that in a minute. But you and I will withhold good on a regular basis. We will act by sight on a regular basis. Meaning, you don't walk by faith, you walk by sight. And we do that on a regular basis. No regard for what God said. No regard for what God's direction is. Just do our own thing, and every once in a while put a little star on our little board because we did something that we looked to God for. Well, I trusted God for this thing. Okay. And then all these other things we've done, just, you know, forget about those things. Now he says, the thought of foolishness is sin. The thought. You know what? He is digging down. The Lord is identifying where sin resides in you. So you get that thought in that mind, you get the thought up there and you start to think about it, the Lord says, you understand that thought rolling around in your mind that you're not willing to take captive and put under submission to Jesus Christ, that thought is sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. What did Jesus Christ say? He said one time in Matthew 5, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery in his heart already. You know what he did? He just got that thought and rolled it around in his head. And nobody else saw it. But God saw that thing. He's just identifying sin here. I'll give you another one. I won't go through too many more of these. I'll give you one or two more. Proverbs 21. Verse 4. This is the definition of sin in the Bible. A high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Again, notice. Here's a fella who is plowing. That means he's working. He's not a bum. Here's a fella who is doing business. And if you were to look at him, you would say this guy, I mean, possibly pretty successful, just doing pretty good for himself in this life. And the Bible says a proud look, the plowing of the wicked is sin. What is that? That's a guy who's doing all these things in his life without any regard for what God thinks about it. Just a proud look, just a, you know, I've got this thing, I've got it all under control, or, you know, I can handle it, I don't need all that advice, I don't need the Lord in this thing. And you don't maybe say those things, but that's the way we live. We just do our own thing and just do our own thing, and then every once in a while pull God's name out of the sky and say, oh, you know, God got involved in this thing. And he's nowhere near any of it. Just our pride. We just do things we want to do. A high look, a proud heart, the plowing of the wicked is sin. Notice that phrase again, this thing is sin. Not murder. Not some terrible thing. When God identifies sin, he identifies where the road gets perverted. You know where it got perverted? With the thought. You know where it got perverted? With the pride. You know where it got perverted? Where faith wasn't active. You know where it got perverted? It got perverted where you knew to do good and you didn't do it. And he just identifies sin. It's sin. This is sin. This is sin. This is sin. And then he says, you don't have to turn there. But Paul said it in 1 Corinthians. He said, the sting of death is sin. Going back to what we said at the beginning, in Adam all die. Something we haven't got used to. I don't say we should get used to it, but it was never supposed to be that way. But it is that way because of sin. Now, if you've heard some of these things, know to do good, you do it not. You know, you've got some sin on your account before God. Whatsoever's not of faith is sin. You've done some things that had nothing to do with faith. You know what that is? That's just sin. The thought of foolishness. Ever had some thoughts that were just foolish, no regard for God's thoughts on it, just thoughts of whatever, foolishness. Sin. High look, proud heart, plowing of the wicked, this is sin. The reason I show you these things, and again, I hope you understand the spirit with which this is given. I show you these things because there's probably not very many people willing to show you from the Bible what God said about sin. This is what God says about sin. And it's important for you to understand what God said about sin so you don't make up your own definition of it. Because if I ask you, you know, are you a sinner? Yeah, I'm a sinner, but I'm pretty good. That's according to your standard. But you're not the judge. You're going to stand before a judge one day. And this is his standard. And so I say those things, hopefully they, at this point, maybe feel a little bit heavy on your heart, or maybe you're mad at me for showing you, I don't know. I hope you understand. The Lord is identifying the things that make him angry. In his creation that he created, this is where it's gone, this is where it's been perverted. This thought, this idea to do good, but you just chose not to do it. This act of faithlessness. These are the things where God says, you know what, this is where my creation has gone astray. Committing sin. But if you understand those things, and hopefully you understand sin in your own life, this isn't about everybody else is a sinner, this is about I'm a sinner, I do these things on a regular basis. You know, I'll tell you honestly, when I read stuff like this and examine my own life, I feel like more of my life is sin than anything else. Faithlessness, foolish thoughts. No to do good, do it not. And when I consider all the decisions that are made in a 24-hour time period, you know, there's some prayer, there's Bible reading, there's all kinds of other stuff that goes on. And I think, man, Lord, I am in a bad position. I'll give you a personal testimony. So I got saved around 10 years old. Trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I understood at that point in time, if I were to die, my sins were on me. I understood my sins, I understood what I had done, and I understood the consequences of my sin. And then the good part of it is I understood then what Jesus Christ had done to pay for my sin. And I trusted Jesus Christ, and that was, I don't know, 5 years ago? 30-some years ago? You know, today, I am no more worthy to be a child of God than I was at 10 years old. Say, well, you read the Bible, you preach. Okay, whatever. I am no more worthy to be a child of God than I was the day I got saved. The only reason a person is saved, the only reason a soul is justified from these sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that is going to cleanse you. And I hope by reading some of these verses, if you don't understand that once you trust Jesus Christ, your life is still not as impressive to God as you think it is. Some of you trust Jesus Christ and maybe think that I got to keep doing good things. And you're supposed to. You're saved for good works. That's what you're saved for. But God's not nearly as impressed with what you do as you are. The Bible says the sting of death is sin. In Adam, all die. What's the consequences of all that? Over in Revelation chapter 20, I'll read it to you. Revelation 21 says this. Revelation 21:7. Because all this sin has got to be judged. And it will be judged. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You got one life to live. You don't have multiple lives, you got one life to live. Revelation 21:7, what's the consequences? Okay, I understand I'm a sinner. What happens to sinners? What am I looking forward to now? Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You say, people read that or hear that. They say, well, you're just preaching hellfire and being mean. Look, if there was a burning building that you were stuck in, and I chose not to tell you about it, or I chose not to try to get you out, that would be on me. Well, I just don't think the fire is as hot as you're making it out to be. You know, I see the smoke, but I just don't think it's as bad as you think it is. No, it's not as bad as I think it is. It's worse. It's worse. I can't even imagine how bad it is. I can't even imagine how bad the judgment of God is. You say, well, God's just a mean God. God is not. God is a gracious God. You say, why do you say that? Because if you go to hell and you go to this fiery place, you will do it against the will of God. God's will is that all men would be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. So if you choose to neglect this salvation, if you choose to ignore this salvation, if you choose to think yourself more highly than you ought to, you will go into a hell and into a lake of fire against the will of God. What's the consequences of sin? Well, if heaven is, it is interesting. People want to think about, and understand, you want to think about a good place after you die. Rest in peace, things like that. But in order for there to be a good place, there has to be a place for the sin. We don't go to heaven and live in a dump. We live separated from sin. We live away from sin. And so when God chose to correct the perversion that entered into his creation, and he chose to come in the form of Jesus Christ and die on the cross, which we'll explain, and chose to make things right, and then people just spit it in his face and said, I don't need this Jesus. I don't need this cross. I don't need this stuff. And the Lord said, there's not another way to do this. If you will not accept my salvation, you are under the judgment of God. Jesus Christ says, he said, the word that I have spoken him shall judgment last day. It says, he that believeth not is condemned already. What he means is you're just in your sin. You say, well, I don't want to be in my sin. Okay, well, there's a way out of this. There's a way to be justified before God. But you got to understand the consequences. You got to understand that you're a sinner. Going back to the lady that the Lord said, she loved much because she was forgiven much. When you understand your sin and you understand the forgiveness of God, it will make you love God that much more. But if you don't understand your sin, you know what the goodness of God is to you? It's nothing. It doesn't have any value to you. The consequences of sin, the judgment of God, the lake of fire, horrible, horrible things, horrible things. But in order to understand the good news, you understand those things. So let me ask you before I show you some good news here. If you were to die right now, or on the way home, or in the parking lot, hopefully you don't. I remember asking somebody that, and they kind of like, you gonna kill me or something like that? I'm not going to kill you. I'm just asking you a question. I want you to think about this. But if you were to die right now, would you die in your sins? Or would you die with your sins forgiven? And someone says, well, I think they're forgiven. Well, okay, I hope they are. But why do you believe they're forgiven? Well, I think God's good. And that's true. God is good. Why do you think your sins are forgiven? Well, Jesus died on the cross for all of us. True, Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of us. But why are your sins forgiven? You understand, it's personal. Your judgment between Almighty God is not with all of us. It's between you and God. And this whole idea, well, he died for all of our sins. Yeah, he did. But if he didn't die for your sins, he's not your payment for sin then. Let me show you some good news. Look over here in Acts chapter 13, if you would. Acts chapter 13 and verse 37. When Jesus Christ appeared on the scene in the book of John, John the Baptist said something about him that was so profound. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. When you look at what sin has done to this world, wow. When you look at what sin has done to your life, when you look at the perversion that has crept into God's creation and just, we have things in this world that heaven will never have because there's no sin there. You have medical insurance, maybe. You have hospitals. You have doctors. You have cemeteries. Do what? Nursing homes. You know, none of that stuff exists in heaven because there's no sin there. A lot of our culture is built around just sin. I mean, movies, Hollywood, whatever, shows, murder, adultery. Why is this stuff the fascination? But Jesus Christ, the Bible says this, Acts 13:37. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. That's Jesus Christ. He dies on the cross, is buried for 3 days, and unlike any other body in this world, his body never decayed. Never got black spots in it. None of those things that you would see on a dead body. Never corrupted. You know why his body never corrupted? Because there's no sin in it. Jesus Christ said, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to pick it back up. Here's just the next part of this. Verse 38, this is great. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Wow. The forgiveness of sins. So, if God can find a sinner, and if God can find a sinner who understands that I cannot do anything about this, I am guilty before God. If God can find a sinner like that, he's got good news for you. But if you're not a sinner like that, there's not any good news for you. But Jesus Christ, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You say, okay, well, Jesus Christ died for my sins. I know he's on the cross and all that stuff. How do I receive that forgiveness? How do I get that forgiveness? It's very simple. Because once you understand that you're a sinner, once you understand the consequences of that sin, the part of receiving forgiveness is very simple. The problem is getting people to understand they're sinners. This is why we go over this stuff the way we do. Because we will proclaim our goodness to the day, as long as we can. We won't let God tell us what we are, what we've become. But if God can find a sinner who is contrite, who is backed in a corner and understands, I cannot get out of this mess. I am in the position of guilty before God. Then God says, all right, I have good news for you. I have good news for you. You ready for how difficult this thing is? Look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 9. Romans 10:9 says this. You understand these things? He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You know what? You understand you're a sinner. You understand your sin before a holy God. You understand the consequences of that sin. And now you understand God's grace and God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Why Jesus Christ is on the cross. For those of you who have never heard this before, I know I've said it before, but if you hadn't heard it, if there was another way for this to happen, if you could get salvation by doing something, then Jesus Christ doesn't go to the cross. There's no reason for him to go to the cross. The reason Jesus Christ is on the cross is because that's the way sins are going to be paid for. That's the way your sins are going to be paid for. That's the way my sins are going to be paid for. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, God is, maybe it's time to rethink the God is mean thing, or God is, you know, we read about hellfire, read about the lake of fire. Well, God's so mean. God made this as easy as he possibly could for you. You're a sinner. Your sins are going to be paid for one way or another. Either you will pay for them, or you will let Jesus Christ pay for them. And if you choose to pay for them yourself, you do that against the will of God. You spit in the sacrifice, in the face of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made for you. Dying on the cross, and then, you know, I know he died on the cross, but, you know, I'll be a pretty good person. If you could be a pretty good person, Jesus Christ would have just said, just go be good people. But he died on the cross to pay for sins. The Bible says he's a propitiation. You say, why does it have to be so bloody? Why does it have to be this way? Because in Adam, all die. You're born in Adam, you got flesh and blood in Adam, all die. Whether you're a baby, an adult, 20, 30 years old, in Adam, all die. Universal, everybody. That death goes through everybody. But in Jesus Christ shall all be made alive. You know what God needed? He needed not a second Adam, he needed another Adam. A last Adam. Jesus Christ, the Bible describes Jesus Christ as the last Adam. So he lays down his life and he pays for your sins in his own flesh and blood. Because Jesus Christ never committed any sins, he pleased God every day of his life. Holy, Bible says, tempted in all manner like as we're tempted, yet without sin. Then he dies on the cross, not for his sins, but for your sins. Goes into that grave, and then 3 days later, the best news ever, he comes out of that grave. And now he offers forgiveness of sins, peace with God, eternal life. And I'll say it again this way. He says, whosoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life. The Bible says, he that hath the Son of God hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The question is, are you in Jesus Christ? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Do you understand your sin? Because the point is, you're not going to call upon the name of the Lord if you don't have a reason to call on him. The reason is, I'm a sinner. I need help. I'm guilty. I need my sins forgiven, and I can't do the forgiving. I need God. I need the judge to forgive my sins. So Jesus Christ makes a way and provides the way of salvation and shedding his blood. Then he raises again from the dead 3 days later. And those of you, we're here this morning. Those of you that are saved, I think we're here this morning not because we have a dead Savior, but because we have a living Savior. I'm not here because Jesus Christ is dead and he taught some good things way back then. I'm here because Jesus Christ is living, and he offers eternal life. And it's not this, if you come to this denomination, come to this religion, come to this building, you know, we'll teach you some philosophical things and, you know, maybe hopefully help you get your marriage straightened out or whatever, all that kind of stuff. Yes, all those things are in the book. But if your religion doesn't teach you how to be forgiven by God once and for all, if your religion doesn't teach you how to have eternal life and know it, what are you doing with your belief system? What good is it? Well, I go to church. Okay, well, do you know where you're going when you die? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Well, I do the mass thing, or we go over here and we do this thing over here, or, you know, I make sure I knock doors or whatever it is. I ride my bicycle, whatever the thing is. Okay, do you know where you're going when you die? You know 100% that you're gonna be with the Lord when this body drops. Well, nobody can know that. You know what? Get off your bicycle, quit going to church, quit wasting your time with your religion. Get in the Bible, because the truth is, God offers eternal life, and he offers you not only eternal life, but how to know that you have it. how to know that you're forgiven. He says this over there in Romans chapter 4. He says, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven and whom God will not impute sin. You can know you're forgiven by God, but you got to be a sinner first. And you got to understand that Jesus Christ died not for everybody's sins, he died for your sins. And you got to understand those things, and after understanding those things, call upon the name of the Lord, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, you know what the promise is? They shall be saved. He didn't make it hard. It's not complicated. You don't have to jump through rings of fire or anything. But you're going to have to swallow your pride. I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know I have perverted what God gave me. In fact, most of my life has been spent ignoring God at every step of the way. Oh yeah, I make it to church a couple times. But the majority of my life has nothing to do with what God said. Now, if you can get to that point and understand those things, there's good news. The gospel is good news. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Very simple. You want to get saved? You're a sinner. Your sins are going to be judged. There's a Savior who paid for your sins. Accept the Savior. Very simple. Very simple. We'll have a little time of invitation here.